Chapter 12, Meeting at Randolph. By invitation of Brother and Sister Nichols, my Sister S. and myself again went to Massachusetts and made their house our home. There was in Boston and vicinity a company of fanatical persons who held that it was a sin to labor. Their principal message was, "Sell that ye have and give alms." They said they were in the Jubilee, the land should rest, and the poor must be supported without labor. Sergeant Robbins and some others were leaders. They denounced my visions as being of the devil because I had been shown their errors. They were severe upon all who did not believe with them. While we were visiting at Brother N's, R. and S. came from Boston to obtain a favor of Brother N. and said they had come to have a visit and tarry overnight with him. Brother N. replied that he was glad they had come, for sisters Sarah and Ellen were in the house and wished them to become acquainted with us. They changed their mind at once and could not be persuaded to come into the house. Brother N. asked if I could relate my message in Boston and if they would hear and then judge. "Yes," said they, "come into Boston next Sabbath. We would like the privilege of hearing her." Accordingly, we designed to visit Boston, but in the evening at the commencement of the Sabbath, I was shown in vision that we must not go to Boston, but in an opposite direction to Randolph, that the Lord had a work for us to do there. We went to Randolph and found a large room full collected, and among them those who said they would be pleased to hear my message in Boston. As we entered, R. and S. looked at each other in surprise and began to groan. They had promised to meet me in Boston, but thought they would disappoint us by going to Randolph, and while we were in Boston, warned the brethren against us. They did not have much freedom. At intermission, one of their number remarked that good matter would be brought out in the afternoon. Sister N. answered, "I believe it." R. told my sister that I could not have a vision where he was. In the afternoon, the blessing of the Lord rested upon me, and I was taken off in vision. I was again shown the errors of R. and S. and others united with them. I saw that they could not prosper, that truth would triumph in the end and error be brought down. I was shown that they were not honest, and then I was carried into the future and shown something of the course they would pursue, that they would continue to despise the teachings of the Lord, despise reproof, and that they would be left in total darkness to resist God's Spirit until their folly should be made manifest to all. A chain of truth was presented to me from the Scriptures in contrast with their errors. When I came out of vision, candles were burning. I had been in vision nearly 4 hours. As I was unconscious to all that transpired around me while in vision, I will copy from Brother Nichols' description of that meeting. Sister Ellen was taken off in vision with extraordinary manifestations and continued talking in vision with a clear voice, which could be distinctly understood by all present until about sundown. S., R., and F. were much exasperated as well as excited to hear Sister E. talk in vision, which they declared was of the devil. They exhausted all their influence and bodily strength to destroy the effect of the vision. They would unite in singing very loud, and then alternately would talk and read from the Bible in a loud voice, in order that E might not be heard until their strength was exhausted, and their hands would shake so they could not read from the Bible. But amidst all this confusion and noise, E's clear and shrill voice, as she talked in vision, was distinctly heard by all present. The opposition of these men continued as long as they could talk and sing, notwithstanding some of their own friends rebuked them and requested them to stop. "But," says R., "you are bowed to an idol. You are worshiping a golden calf." Mr. Thayer, the owner of the house, was not fully satisfied that her vision was of the devil, as R. declared it to be. He wanted it tested in some way. He had heard that visions of satanic power were arrested by opening the Bible and laying it on the person in vision, and asked S. if he would test it in this way, which he declined to do. Then Thayer took a heavy, large, quarto family Bible, which was lying on the table and seldom used, and opened it and laid it upon the breast of E. while in vision, as she was then inclined backward against the wall in the corner of the room. Immediately after the Bible was laid upon her, she arose from her feet and walked into the middle of the room with a Bible open in one hand, and lifted it up as high as she could reach, and with her eyes steadily looking upward, declared in a solemn manner the inspired testimony from God, or words of the same import. And then she continued for a long time, while the Bible was extended in one hand and her eyes looking upward and not on the Bible, to turn over the leaves with her other hand and place her finger upon certain passages and correctly utter their words with a solemn voice. Many present looked at the passages where her finger was pointed to see if she spoke them correctly, for her eyes at the same time were looking upwards. Some of the passages referred to were judgments against the wicked and blasphemers. The others were admonitions and instructions relative to our present condition. In this state she continued all the afternoon until near sunset, when she came out of vision. When he arose in vision upon her feet, with the heavy open Bible in her hand, and walked the room uttering the passages of Scripture, S, R, and F were silenced. For the remainder of the time they were troubled with many others, but they shut their eyes and braved it out without making any acknowledgement of their feelings.